Congregation, there are two scripture readings this morning. The first reading is from 2 Kings chapter 25. So we first look at 2 Kings chapter 25. 2 Kings 25, we start to read at verse 27. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon and changed his prison garments. And he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. And then we turn our attention to Jeremiah 22. There we read something more about this King Jehoiachin. We just read how he ended his life in Babylon. And now we read then the prophecies of Jeremiah. He prophesied regarding Jehoiachin. So that's Jeremiah 22, and we start reading at verse 20. Go up to Lebanon and cry, and lift up thy voice in Bashan, and cry from the passages, for all thy lovers are destroyed. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidst, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyedst not my voice. The wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. O inhabitant of Lebanon, that makest thy nest in the cedars, how gracious shalt thou be when pangs come upon thee, the pain as of a woman in travail. As I live, saith the Lord, though Konya, that is another name for Jehonia. It's another name for Jehoiachin. So though Konya, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. And I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even unto the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country where ye were not born, and there shall ye die. But to the land whereunto they desire to return, thither shall they not return. Is this man Konya a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless. A man shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. That's the second reading. And then the words of our text are from 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36, we find the words of our text. And that's formed by the verses 9 and 10. The words of our text, 2 Chronicles 36, 9 and 10. Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. So far. Beloved congregation, after godly King Josiah died, 3 of his sons would successively rule over Judah. The people of the land first made Jehoahaz king, but we know that Pharaoh Necho put him down, took him along to Egypt, and appointed his brother Jehoiakim to be king. And then Jehoiakim ruled for 11 years. He first had to serve the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. But after a while, Nebuchadnezzar gained the upper hand in the near Middle East. So he had to serve the king of Babylon. But after some years, he refused to do that and he rebelled. And then Nebuchadnezzar came up against him. And the people hated Jehoiakim because of his wickedness and his social injustice, not paying his own workers. And during the siege, when Jerusalem was besieged, Jehoiakim died, and they didn't want to bury him. They threw him over the city wall, like Jeremiah had predicted. And then they made his son Jehoiachin king. And this king reigned for 3 months and 10 days. Because he was 8 years old, our text says, when he began to reign. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And so we consider King Jehoiachin. We consider his sin, his surrender, and his setting free. King Jehoiachin, we consider his sin, his surrender, and his setting free. Well, congregation, it's a sad story, but it's reality. After 2 wicked kings, we're still having a wicked king, and there's still another wicked king to follow, the last one. Jehoiakim is dead, and the people of the land make now his son to be king. His son is Jehoiachin. He was 18 years old when he became king. And he ruled Judah on his own. We read that in 2 Kings 24, verse 8. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. However, we read here in 2 Chronicles, our text, that Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign. So do we have a problem here? 2 Chronicles says that Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign. 2 Kings says he was 18 years old when he began to reign. So do we have an error in Scripture? Does the Lord not watch over his word? Do not we believe and confess the literal, verbal inspiration and preservation of the word of God? Yes, indeed we do. And how come there's a discrepancy then? Well, we're not the first ones to see this. Others have seen this before us. And what the answer is, what the older commentators say is, that King Jehoiakim let his son Jehoiachin reign together with him when he was 8 years of age. So Jehoiakim wanted to make sure that his son would be crowned king after him. So he allowed him to participate in the royal affairs already at a young age of 8 years old. And then for the next 10 years he was groomed to be king. And when he was 18, he ruled on his own. And then he ruled on his own for 3 months and 10 days. So Jehoiachin was already accustomed to ruling the nation. And he had then already revealed himself as being a wicked king. But he doesn't rule long. It's only 3 months. But he was already notorious for his wickedness. What was his wickedness? What did he do? What he did was not listening to the word of God and not honoring God. That was his sin. We read about that in Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah, you know, was a contemporary of Josiah and Jehoahaz and Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin and Zedekiah. He lived at that time. And in Jeremiah 13, we read a prophecy. That's actually an accusation against Jehoiachin. Hear ye, give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. And in verse 16 of Jeremiah 13, give glory to the Lord your God. But Jehoiachin didn't do this. In Jeremiah 22, it says in verse 21, I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, when everything went well for him. But thou saidst, I will not hear. And this hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyedst not my voice. That's Jehoiachin. He did not listen to the word of God. He ignored it. He didn't listen to Jeremiah. He went his own way. We don't read about oppression or bloodshed, or maybe he did that, we don't know. But what we do know is he did not honor the Lord and did not listen to the voice of God. And then suddenly, this man Jehoiachin comes very close to us. Because we don't kill other people. We don't shed blood. We don't oppress other people. And maybe Jehoiachin never did that either. But we can reject the word of God. We can ignore the word of God and still have a so-called Christian lifestyle. We can postpone the call of God's word, pushing it away from us. The Lord can speak to us in our prosperity, where things are going well, and that we fail to see the need of becoming serious about God and His Word. And that we do not honor the Lord. You honor the Lord when you flee to Him. When you confess that you need Him to intervene in your life, you need Him to change your heart, to grant you His Holy Spirit, and you honor Him when you acknowledge that you have messed up everything, that you are a sinner, and you plead for His mercy and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cry out for Him, and you thirst for Him, and you study the Scriptures, because therein God speaks to you, and you're serious about that, and you seek Him in hidden places. Well, how do you live? What are you doing with your life? Are you maybe ignoring the Word of God? Are you maybe failing to honor the Lord? How precious is His Word to you? Is it a burden upon you that you need God's Spirit to work and live in your heart? Do you realize that He is willing to work? And that you've been invited to His salvation? Does that make you to be very humble? And that you cry out for the living God? Maybe you feel He has not answered. But in the meantime, you are accelerating your prayer because I cannot live without Thee, O Lord. That's honoring God. Well, Jehoiachin didn't do that. And then the prophet Jeremiah speaks against Jehoiachin in Jeremiah 22, those verses we read. And there the prophet said that Jehoiachin would be cast out of the land. And the most severe reproach there is that Jehoiachin had not listened to the Lord. And that sudden pain will come upon him. The pain of being overwhelmed by the enemy. And then Jeremiah uses an illustration, because he's pronouncing this to the people of Jerusalem. He is condemning their king in public. Maybe he was addressing the king himself. But in verse 24 we read, "As I live, saith the Lord," the Lord is swearing an oath, "though Coniah," Jehoiachin, "the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were a signet upon my right hand," it's a ring, "I will pluck it off and throw it away." He's a descendant of David. He is therefore precious. Like you have a signet ring, and you wouldn't just pull it off and throw it out away. But that's what the Lord is going to do to Jehoiachin. He will be cast away into a foreign country and he'll never come back. And so Jeremiah is preaching these words in the streets of Jerusalem. And the people hear these words. And then they respond. We read that in Jeremiah 22. They respond and say, "Is it so bad with King Jehoiachin? Is he a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel you just throw out? What are you saying, Jeremiah?" In verse 28, they say, "Is this man, Coniah, a broken vessel? Wherefore is he cast out? And wherefore are they? Is he thrown away into another country? Wherefore?" And Jeremiah responds with an outcry. He said, as it were, sighing. The people didn't get what Jeremiah was saying. And then in that setting, after the people respond to him, "Is he a broken vessel and why is this all happening?" Then Jeremiah cries out, "O earth," can you also say land, "land, land, land, hear the word of the Lord." And then Jeremiah continues on. "This man is childless. He will not prosper. No man of his seed shall prosper." So he had children, but no man of his children will be on the throne of David. They will not rule anymore in Judah. So the Lord is going to overthrow the royal house of David. Their kings will go into exile. And no more shall there be a king ruling over the house of David, over Judah. It's done. It's over. The Lord is casting them out. So it's even worse than the people thought. It's not only that their king is going into exile, but the royal house of David is finished. That's a result of the sins of the kings of Judah and also of the sins of King Jehoiachin. He is an example. He's portrayed to us as an example. A boy of 18. How old are you? Are you maybe 18? What are you doing with your life? Well, you're not too young to sin. And you're not too young to be judged. You're not too young to seek the Lord. What do you do with your life? Jehoiachin did that which was evil. But then there's something very remarkable. And it's not only his sin, but also his surrender. Because that is a hopeful sign. And it will turn out to be a wise decision that he did. He ruled for 3 months and 10 days, and then he made a decision. And the decision was to surrender himself to the king of Babylon. By so doing, he wanted to spare the city of Jerusalem, to spare the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to spare the royal palace and the temple and the lives of the inhabitants. And so this young man of 18 years, he makes a wise and good decision. Imagine the setting. The Babylonians are around the city. City is closed in. No one can go in, no one can go out. Jehoiakim is dead. His body is lying somewhere. Jehoiachin is king. Initially he tries to withhold the attacks of Nebuchadnezzar. And he realizes this is futile. He decides to surrender. And that's exactly what Jeremiah is going to advise the last king of Judah, Zedekiah. And Jeremiah is going to say to Zedekiah, some 18 years after this, you should also surrender. Then you will spare the city, you will spare the temple, you will spare the palace and the inhabitants of the people, and you will live and your children. But Zedekiah said, I'll think about it. And he never did. He never surrendered. And the results were horrible for him. The whole city destroyed, the palace destroyed, the temple burned down, his own boys killed. That's Zedekiah. He refused to surrender. But here we have Jehoiachin, his nephew. And he surrenders. We read that in 2 Kings 24. Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon. He and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. That's the reign of king of Babylon. So what happens is that during the siege, early in the morning, we imagine, the gates go open. And a procession leaves the city. It's the king, his mother, wives, some important advisors to the king, and they march straight to the camp of Nebuchadnezzar. They hand over their surrender. And the result is that their lives are spared. They are taken along as prisoners to Judah together with Daniel and Ezekiel and other important men. and the tradesmen, the smiths, the blacksmiths, because they can forge weapons, so you don't want them. We'll take them along. But the inhabitants are not killed, and the city remains, and Nebuchadnezzar enthrones someone else on the throne. And that's Zedekiah. That's the third son of Josiah. But the issue here is that is useful for us to consider is his surrender. He surrenders to the judgment of God. He now starts to obey the word of the Lord. He surrenders. He bows for God's judgment. He bows his neck. He realizes further resistance is in vain. He realizes he must go into exile. And when he goes out to Nebuchadnezzar, he doesn't know if Nebuchadnezzar will spare his life or not. But whatever may happen, he surrenders. He gives up. And hopefully that will be the best decision considering these circumstances. And it was the best decision. The surrender will prove to be for him a great blessing later on in his life. And what's important, what we find here is surrender. That's also necessary for you and for me. Joachim was 18. What's your age? 18? 17? 16? 19? 20? It's time to surrender. It's serious. It's time to surrender to the Lord. It's time to lay down your life and everything you are and everything you desire and everything you want to be, to lay that down before the Lord. And to confess that you have a sinful life. And that you no longer point to other people, but you point to yourself. And you say, Lord, I have sinned against thee. I deserve to be judged and to be punished. But thou art a God of grace. And thou hast come to seek and to save that which is lost. And thou hast not cast out the prodigal son when he came back. And thou hast not cast out beggars who fled to thee. And now I come to thee, O Lord. I'm not worthy to be looked upon, but I need thee to guide and lead and to structure my life and to renew my heart. And to unite my heart to fear thy name, that I may learn to walk in thy ways, for I am as a child, and I do not know how to walk. I do not know how to live in this world with so many temptations. I need thee, O Lord, to take away from my life everything thou dost not want to be in there, and to give me what I need to learn to renew me. That my life would be Christ. That thou, Lord Jesus, would have the upper hand. That thou wouldst become my King, my Lord, my ruler. That surrender. Confessing your sins. Begging him to take hold of your life. It's what Samuel did. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It's what Paul did outside of Damascus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's like Mary, who was not married, had no husband, and was going to get pregnant. What will the people say? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Now, I do not know how deep matters went in the life of King Jehoiachin. But I do know that surrender is essential for spiritual life. It's sitting down with David and praying, "Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth." That's what faith is. That's what Christian faith and Christian life mean. It's the heart of all. It's resigning your will to the Lord. It's letting go. It's dropping down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Just like who did that again? Yes, the Canaanite woman who never had one promise. And when she heard the Lord Jesus speak, the Lord Jesus said, "No, it can't be for you. You don't belong to the lost sheep of Israel. You're not a covenant child. You have no promise." And what did she do? She fell down at the feet of the Lord Jesus, right in front of him. And she had no words left. "Lord, just Lord, help me." And that's the best place to be in life. Because that's faith. That's faith. That woman exhibited great faith. And that's what you're also displaying. You may not be aware of it. But when you fall down before the Lord, and you say, "Lord, I need Thee. Thee alone. To lay down your sinful life before him, and that he would take control." Then you are no longer in control, but he is. And therefore you go every day to the fountain, the Lord Jesus. And every day you listen to his voice. His word becomes your guide. And every day you need to find a quiet spot to pour out your heart and to ask direction and to confess what went wrong and to lay all your needs before the Lord and decisions you need to make, to lay that before the Lord, to discuss that with God. Not that God gives an audible answer, but you lay it all down before the Lord, and the Lord guides and leads your thoughts, and it can be very clear to you what you need to do after you've been with the Lord, because he leads you now. It's what the apostles did. They left their fishing nets and the fishing boats and the servants of Zebedee. They left them behind, and John and James, they followed the Lord Jesus. And their partners, Peter and Andrew, followed the Lord Jesus. And Levi the publican, he left his toll booth with all that money, and he followed the Lord Jesus. He became Matthew. That's surrender. And now, of course, the question comes to us, do we know this surrender to the Lord? Remember, you're not surrendering to a wicked heathen king who will put you in prison for years, but you're coming to a caring, loving God who will heal you, who will put your life together again, who will bless you, who will cause all things to work together for your good, who will fill your life with himself, and you will have peace and direction and an aim in life and fulfillment. You will be a blessing to people around you. You won't even be aware of that yourself, maybe, but you will be a blessing. And your soul will be like a watered garden. You will taste his love in your heart. You will be under the shadow of the Almighty. And therefore, you will be in the secret dwelling place of the Most High. Oh, that is the very, very, very best that can ever happen to you, to lose your life in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, I don't know how deep matters went with King Jehoiachin, but I do know that because of his surrender, things ultimately worked out well in his life. He would undergo punishment because of the wickedness he did. He would go into exile. But his life was spared. And more would happen to him. Because we consider also his setting free. Because King Jehoiachin was led into exile. Together with his wives, the princes, the tradesmen. It was terrible to go into exile. Maybe he had hoped that it wouldn't happen if he would surrender. But anyway, he went into exile. Jeremiah had prophesied that's going to happen to you. And we don't read much about his imprisonment. He was there for 37 years in prison. We don't know how severe the prison was. It was also a show of power when an Oriental king had a couple of kings tucked away somewhere in a prison or in a house, whatever, under house arrest or whatever it was. It was his power, his might, he had subdued them. We don't know how miserable the prison was. After 18 years being in prison, his uncle came, Zedekiah. But he was blind. He had been blinded by Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe he met his uncle Zedekiah, I don't know. But Jehoiachin was there. It may have been reasonably well. Because he had wives, he also brought forth children. We know that. He had children. And after having been a prisoner for 37 years, something very pleasant happened to him. That's what we read in 2 Kings. The successor of King Nebuchadnezzar was his son, Evil-Merodach. And he gained the throne in the year 562 B.C., and after his ascension to the throne, he decreed that the former king of Judah, Jehoiachin, would be set free. Not to go back, but he could live in the royal palace of Babylon. He would be supported and sustained by the king of Babylon. He will be supplied with royal food. He will be given royal clothing. He was highly privileged. Evil-Merodach, he spoke kindly to Jehoiachin and gave him more honor by setting his throne, his position, above all the thrones and the positions of those other kings who were with him in Babylon. He didn't have to wear prison garments anymore. He has royal clothing. And he received everyday food from the royal table till the end of his life. So Jehoiachin ended his life reasonably well. And why did that happen? Why did Evil-Merodach choose out Jehoiachin and lift him up above all the other kings? The Bible does not give us an answer. It's simply a fact. But we do know from history that Evil-Merodach, Nebuchadnezzar's son, during the life of his dad, had conspired against his father because he wanted to gain the throne even before his father had died. We know that from history. And what happened was Nebuchadnezzar was still so kind enough not to kill his son, but to throw him in prison. He was imprisoned. And then people surmised that perhaps there in prison he met Jehoiakim. And that they had a relationship together, a bond, whatever. Maybe that's the reason. We don't know. But these are some facts that he had been in prison himself. But anyway, we know that Jehoiakim ended his life reasonably well. And on top of that, he had children. For we read that he had a son, Salathiel, who in turn was the father of Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel would eventually lead the people of Israel back from exile into the land of Judah after 70 years. So Zerubbabel was a grandson of Jehoiakim. So because Jehoiakim surrendered himself, the Lord blessed his offspring, and that the royal descendants of the house of David continued on through Jehoiakim, Salathiel, Zerubbabel, and you find these names back in Matthew 1. The forefathers of Joseph, who married Mary. The promise given to David would still be carried out in spite of the wickedness of men. And the Lord would make sure that there would be a king coming forth from the line of David. The Lord Jesus would be born, and he is king forever. So in spite of the demise of the royal house of Judah, in spite of all their sins, God's plans will never fail. God continues his plans in spite of wickedness. And in spite of your and my failings, when we flee to the Lord and confess our weakness, the Lord does not give up. He is faithful. He will never forsake the works of his hands. And then there's no need to despair when your life lies at his disposal. It may seem to you at times that everything is collapsing, and that you're overwhelmed by difficulties, that the water is right unto your lips. But he is still in control. This king rules in righteousness, also over your life. And here we see the blessing given to Jehoiakim as a fruit of his surrender. Blessed, even though your life may go through struggles, even though it may not always be easy, but when he is your Lord and King, the end result will be to be lifted up in glory. What happened to Jehoiakim is but a very weak illustration of what shall happen, not to some, but to all God's children. They will be lifted up to be with him, and there to be in the royal palace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and forever to be sustained, to be nourished, to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb, where the Lord will make all things new in the lives of his people. Amen. Ever blessed Lord, we thank thee for thy holy word. Thy word contains so much instruction, so much comparison thou dost give therein, in the various sections of thy word. O Lord, open our understanding and enlighten our hearts and minds, that we may live according to thy word, that we may know this necessary resignation to thee, and that love may be laid in our hearts to thee. O wilt thou awaken us and draw us unto thee, that we cannot live any more outside of thee. O Lord, we pray thee, give thy people also this perspective to reflect upon, that they will be lifted up far above all their daily struggles, and there will be an exaltation they cannot imagine, but the exaltation will be to glorify thee, to be in thy presence, to see thy face, and then they will be satisfied. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word again, and wilt thou be with us this afternoon and bring us back again at 6 o'clock this evening, where we may have a second worship service. Wilt thou give that we may be present and be with us now in the hours that lie between. Hear us. For Jesus' sake, amen.